academics have even gone so far as to say that in using a machine to replicate a real creature, Respighi's nightingale becomes symptomatic of the totalitarian fascism in Mussolini's Italy. Personally, I like to believe that Respighi perfectly understood the underlying problem central to all music inspired by birds. When it comes to birdsong, it's best left to the birds themselves.
Inspired by Birds was presented by musician and birder Tom McKinney and produced by Joe Meek. It was a Wise Buddha production for BBC Radio 3.
On BBC Radio 3.
My name is Harry Wolfe, and this is my story.
An action-packed radio drama in which two warring brothers are forced to come together to fend off a hostile takeover.
Never tell your left hand what your right hand is up to.
It's a motto I've followed all my life.
But in the middle of a battle, you should always watch your back.
Gents, I've upped me offer to the shareholders, and it's been accepted.
The Takeover, original British drama on BBC Radio 3. Tonight, in The Wire, from 9:30.
Well, the time now is a minute after 1 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 3. We're on 90 to 93 FM, on digital radio and also online. Now, time for the news with Lopa Kotari.
The former South African president, Nelson Mandela, is said to be in good spirits after being taken to hospital. An official statement said Mr. Mandela, who's 93, had a long-standing abdominal complaint which needed specialist medical attention. No specific details of his treatment have been revealed, but it's understood that he's in a stable condition after undergoing planned rather than emergency surgery. It's the second time Mr. Mandela has been admitted to hospital in just over a year. Reports from Afghanistan say that two American advisers have been killed inside the Interior Ministry in Kabul. Violent protests are continuing for a fifth day over the burning of copies of the Quran at a US base. At least 20 people are said to have been killed by a car bomb in Yemen as the new president, Abid Rabu Mansour Hadi, was being sworn in. The explosion was outside a presidential palace in the southern coastal city of Mukalla, some way from the swearing-in ceremony in Sana'a. In a televised address, President Hadi said he'd continue the fight against militants linked to Al-Qaeda. The International Committee of the Red Cross says it's negotiating with the Syrian authorities to try to rescue more wounded and sick people who are trapped in the besieged city of Homs. The first 27 were evacuated yesterday. The government has rejected a claim from the head of Britain's biggest drugs company, GlaxoSmithKline, that formal approval of new cancer drugs is being systematically delayed to save money. Sir Andrew Whitty said it was a growing problem across Europe. The Department of Health said it had increased spending and thousands more patients were getting access to the most advanced treatments. Doctors' representatives are holding an emergency meeting in London to decide whether to ballot for industrial action over proposals to change their pensions, including an increase in contributions. The British Medical Association says anger is running deep, but ministers say the current scheme is unsustainable. And the weather: rain will spread from northwest to southwest Scotland this afternoon. Elsewhere, it'll be largely dry and bright. Overnight, most places will be dry and chilly, although there'll be further spells of rain in Scotland, mainly in the west. And that's the latest BBC News at 1:04.
Read by Lopa Kotari. I'm Jill Anderson. Very good afternoon to you. Just looking ahead an hour to 2 o'clock, we'll be hearing a violin and piano recital given by Alexandra Sum and Plamina Mangova. Music by Mozart, the violin sonata in E-flat, Isaïe's poem Elegiaque, and Stravinsky's Divertimento. That's our lunchtime concert at 2 o'clock. But now it's time for the early music show with Lucy Skeeping.
Thank you. The Warsaw Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Marek Seven, with a rather stately piece, The March of the King of Poland by Johann Adolf Hasser, the monarch in question being Hasser's patron, King Augustus III. Both our programmes this weekend are about Polish early music. We've all heard of Chopin and maybe Szymanowski and Gorecki as well. But of course, they are far too modern for the early music show. We're looking a bit further back than the 19th century. Tomorrow, I'll be introducing music from 17th and early 18th century Poland, performed by the Retrospect Ensemble, highlights of a concert from the 2011 Lufthansa Festival, which featured some really interesting discoveries. But today, we're going to hear some of the little-known composers who emerged from Poland during the late Renaissance and Baroque periods. And we begin right back in the 1500s with a fellow known as Wacław of Szamotuły. So, who was he? Well, Wacław evidently spread his exceptional talents very broadly. His hometown near Poznan was an important centre for cloth production, for pottery and rope making. And it also had a thriving printing house, the first in the country, in fact, which was fortunate because Wacław was a very bookish kind of bloke, with an interest in law, mathematics, poetry and the classics. It was music, though, that was his greatest passion. And in his 20s, he was appointed composer to King Sigismund Augustus II. Now, here was a monarch who, it must be said, was just as keen on adding to his huge collection of precious jewels as he was on music. Nevertheless, the hugely patriotic Wacław was required to write a great deal of music for the court. Sadly, much of it hasn't survived, but we do have some Latin hymns and motets. Wacław wrote the words as well, and the collection is entitled Cantique Polonais.
Alleluja, Adzie Pana Boga Wszechmocnego, narodowie wszyscy świata tego, a wielbicie imię świętego, ludzie wszyscy
Polish hymns by the 16th century Polish composer Wacław Szamotui, performed there by the New Polish Singers. Wacław was a court musician during what was one of the most exciting periods in Polish history. By the turn of the second half of the 1500s, the country was at the height of its territorial expansion and power. Music and culture were flourishing, not only within the royal court in Krakow, but also in the monasteries and churches of the region. But King Sigismund's death in 1572 saw the beginning of Poland's gradual decline and its dismemberment in a series of disastrous wars. Less than 100 years later, it had lost Lithuania, Livonia, Prussia and western Ukraine. And by the end of the 18th century, Poland had disappeared entirely from the map. And yet, as far as art and music were concerned, within the castle walls, at any rate, it was business as usual, right up until the mid-1660s. In fact, the first half of the 17th century turned out to be something of a golden age for music, particularly when Sigismund II decided to import Italian musicians into his royal household. Over a 30-year period, some 23 of them arrived in all, one being composer Giovanni Anerio from Rome, who was employed as the court choirmaster. Let's hear an example of his music. This is his motet, Jubilemus in Arca Domini Dei, performed by the choir of St John's College, Cambridge. The motet Jubilemus in Arca Domini Dei by Giovanni Anerio, performed there by the Choir of St John's College, Cambridge, directed by George Guest. So Anerio was one of many Italian musicians who made the journey north to work in the Polish courts of Warsaw and Krakow. Some of them did eventually return home, but Anerio never made it. He died en route in the Austrian city of Graz. But these southern Europeans were very highly valued. Italy was very much seen as the cradle of the newest developments in music at this time, and far from feeling swamped by the influx of foreign talent, the native Polish composers took the opportunity to listen and to learn from them. The earliest Pole to really stand out from the crowd was Mikołaj Zieleński. He dedicated almost all his music to his archbishop, employer and generous patron. We're going to hear his Magnificat of 1611, which certainly owes a lot to the Italian style, and perhaps a little to Monteverdi in particular.
Thank you.
Graham O'Reilly directed the European William Byrd Ensemble and Ensemble Ventosum in that Magnificat by Mikołaj Zieleński, a Polish composer active in the early part of the 17th century. Right, time for a change of texture now, from large-scale choral works to intimate lute music. And three composers active in the late 16th century with rather colourful stories. Like all great nobles, Poland's King Sigismund Augustus II retained not just a chapel and ceremonial musicians, but players whose job it was to soothe the royal ears, to provide sweet, relaxing music in more intimate settings. From 1549, this important role in Vilnius was in the hands of the most famous and influential lutenist of the day, the Hungarian-born Bálint Bokfork. Naturally, being so celebrated, Bokfork was much in demand all over Europe, but he firmly resisted the temptation to move to any other court, a loyalty which I imagine must have been at least partly influenced by the vast salary he was paid by the Polish king. This cosy arrangement, though, was not to last. After about 5 years, Bokfork apparently did something to upset his royal employer. We don't know what it was, but it must have been quite serious because it seems he subsequently received a visitation from the heavy mob. The Polish army ransacked his house and destroyed all his possessions. Bokfork managed to escape and eventually ended up in Italy, in Padua. But sadly, for posterity at any rate, he caught the plague and died. And to prevent infection, as was the custom, most of his music was destroyed. One piece that did survive, though, possibly because it was kept safely in Vilnius, is Czarna Krowa, or Black Cow. It's a lute solo, and it's played here by Jacob Herringman. was Jacob Herringman playing Black Cow by Balint Bokfok, and he ended it with a lively Polish dance by Matthias Wessel, another foreign musician based in Poland during the 16th century who wrote lots of music for the lute. Now, another colourful story concerns a contemporary of Wessel, the composer Wojciech Długoraj. Now, Długoraj worked in the household of a powerful member of the Polish landed gentry, a man named Samuel Zborowski. He was a military man, one of the king's cavalry officers, who evidently exercised his fighting spirit off the battlefield as well by being a particularly harsh employer and very cruel to his servants. Długoraj tried to escape, but Zborowski's men caught up with him and dragged him back to the court again. It wasn't long, though, before he got his revenge. As a musician, Długoraj had better access than most to his employer's personal chambers, and he found some letters which appeared to incriminate the hated Zborowski in a plot to assassinate the king. Długoraj carefully hid them in his jacket and at the first opportunity sent them to the royal court. The king's men immediately went into overdrive. Zborowski was hunted down and brought to Wawel Castle in Krakow, where he was beheaded. As the old saying goes, hell hath no fury like a lutenist scorned. Konrad Rogosnich played that Chorea Polonica by Wojciech Dugaray. And before it, you heard Jacob Lindberg with one of Dugaray's lute fantasias. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and in both our programmes this weekend, we're looking at the period known as the Golden Age of Polish music. Our next piece is by a composer whose name, I'm afraid, is almost as hard to pronounce, Bartolomiej Penkiel, who's often considered to be the most accomplished of all the Polish composers of the 17th century, so I hope he will forgive my pronunciation. He was conductor at the Royal Chapel in Warsaw, and his music was very popular and well-known over the border in Germany as well. We're going to hear a longish work by Penkiel. It's thought to be the first oratorio which has survived by a Polish composer and was probably written for one of the Jesuit institutions. The theme is The Last Judgment, and Penkiel was obviously influenced by his studies with his colleagues at court, the Italians Anerio and Scarchi, because the music certainly has quite an Italian feel. Audite mortales, listen mortals, listen sinners, listen traitors on earth. Behold, the Son of Man has come to his seat of majesty. The performers are Ensemble European William Byrd and Ensemble Ventosum, directed by Graham O'Reilly.
Thank you. Et ipse me fecit.
Bartholomew Penkiel's oratorio, Audite Mortalis, performed by the European William Byrd Ensemble and Ensemble Ventosum, directed by Graham O'Reilly. As we've heard, the royal court in Warsaw was full of Italian musicians working alongside Polish ones. And when one of them, the much-revered head of music, Marco Scarchi, returned home to Italy, Penkiel was invited to take on this important role. Sadly for him, it wasn't for very long, because within just a few years, the Swedish army invaded. Warsaw fell and the court was dissolved. Penkiel had to sell his house and land just outside the city and flee south to Krakow. He landed on his feet, though. His talent was well known, and almost immediately he was offered the position of director of music at Wawel Cathedral. His predecessor there had been Franciszek Lilius, a musician with an Italian heritage. His father had changed his name from Gili. Just like Penkiel, Lilius had first worked as a court musician, but the directorship at the cathedral suited him admirably. He stayed for some 27 years, during which time he produced some really beautiful church music. This is his motet, Tua Jesu Delectio.
Thank you.
the motet Tua Jesu Delectio by the Polish composer Franciszek Lilius, performed there by Ensemble European William Byrd with Ensemble Ventosum, directed by Graham O'Reilly. Well, I'm afraid we're almost out of time. And to end today's early music show, I've chosen a work not by a native Pole, but by the German-born composer who we heard right at the beginning of the programme, Johann Adolf Hasse. Hasse spent time as the court composer in Dresden, but his employer, the Elector of Saxony, was also King of Poland, which meant that he also spent quite a bit of time on Polish soil, conducting the Royal Orchestra in Warsaw and working at the courts of some of the country's wealthiest noble families. In fact, Hasse was so admired that, in spite of his German blood, his music was often chosen to be performed at the special patriotic celebrations that mark the reigns of successive Polish monarchs. And we're going to end with one of those, appropriately performed here by the Warsaw Chamber Orchestra. We began today's show with Hasse's March of the King of Poland. But this time, Hasse has got the royal legs going in less formal mode. A little piece entitled Dance of the King of Poland.
The Dance of the King of Poland by Johann Adolf Hasse, played by the Warsaw Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Marek Seven. And that brings to an end today's early music show, which was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. In tomorrow's programme, Lucy's joined by the Polish music expert Adrian Thomas to explore the rich vein of Baroque music from Poland, with highlights of a concert given at last year's Lufthansa Festival by the Retrospect Ensemble. And that's tomorrow lunchtime here on Radio 3.
On BBC Radio 3, a Saturday afternoon selection of music by journalist and presenter Mariella Frostrup.
Had it not been for my father, I might not be sitting here today. Although he died when I was just 15, his influence on me lingers, and a part of that legacy is my commitment to Sunday music, as he used to refer to classical compositions.
Music inspired by family legacies, including a childhood encounter with a concerto by Vivaldi.
Dappled sunlight leaking through the lead-paned windows, and Vivaldi's ebullient, celebratory strains ringing in our ears.
Mariella Frostrup presents this weekend's edition of Saturday Classics. Saturday afternoons on BBC Radio 3 from 3 o'clock.
And it's followed at 5 o'clock by Jazz Record Requests with Jeffrey Smith. And then at 6, we're off to the Metropolitan Opera in New York for a live performance of Verdi's Ernani. Marcello Giordani is Ernani and Angela Mead sings the part of Elvira. Marco Armiliato conducts the Metropolitan Opera Chorus and Orchestra, and that all starts at 6 o'clock this evening here on Radio 3. But now it's a couple of minutes after 2 and time for our lunchtime concert and a second chance to hear last Monday's live broadcast, which is introduced by Katie Derham.
Good afternoon and welcome to London's Wigmore Hall for the debut here of young French violinist and BBC New Generation artist Alexandra Soum. Awards and plaudits seem to follow this young lady around. She was born in Moscow, but her family moved to France when she was just one. She soon emerged as a child prodigy. She joined the Vienna Conservatory in 2000. She won its grand prize 2 years after that, and the Eurovision competition for young musicians in Lucerne 2 years later. She's still only 22. She's playing a new violin today. It's an 18th century Guadagnini, which was played by Leonidas Kavakos, so I think we can be assured it'll make a very big sound. Her pianist today is young Bulgarian Plamena Mangova, a prize winner in the 2007 Queen Elizabeth competition, and it's actually the first time the two of them have played together. So, the recital today. Programme spanning two centuries, with the romance of Isaïe and the fireworks of Stravinsky to come, but first a Mozart sonata, his Kochel 380 in E-flat. It's the last of a group of four, possibly five sonatas for piano and violin composed by Mozart during 1781, the year in which he started a new life as a freelance musician in Vienna. Now, he was trying to create a violin sonata which was a true duo between violin and piano. The set was dedicated to Josefa Auenhammer, a pupil of his with whom his name was romantically linked. There were a few of those during his early days in Vienna. She was apparently a very fine keyboard player, but not, according to a letter he sent to his father, very attractive. Mind you, he was probably trying to defend himself from gossip and generally throw his father off the scent. Well, they're making their way to the stage now. Let us hear Mozart's sonata in E-flat, performed by Alexandra Soum and Plamena Mangova.
Thank you.